Hello and welcome to the Riverside City podcast. This is an actual play podcast using 5th edition D&D and with some tweaks, shall we say. It is an introduction. I'm Paul Vanderhayden. I'm going to be the game master for this adventure, not a dungeon master in this case because it's set in the modern world. There's one or two dungeons, but that's not somewhere they want to end up. Well, it depends on their character, but I digress. This podcast, I've been playing D&D for over 17 years, and I've been DMing for 5, give or take. This podcast is part of the larger Riverside City universe. I wrote a book. It's called Riverside City Capes and Cowls. You can find it on Amazon. I'll put the tiny URL link in the description of this podcast. I'd appreciate it if you consider picking up a copy. If you don't, just listen. I'd appreciate it. Just listen here. My fun fact for this is that Riverside City was actually created for another game with the people around this table right now, Mike, Rob, and Natalie, and I, obviously. It ended up going a different direction, but the fact that I didn't want to waste all the time I put into it is what drove me to write the book I actually did and then actually create this podcast. So it ended up being a benefit hidden behind. It was a silver lining. There's a better way to put it. Who wants to go next for player introduction?
I'll go next. I'm Robert. I've been gaming for 20 years or more. I'm actually the one to blame for him building the Riverside City. It was my campaign that got put on hiatus for a bit, but that's all right. For my little fun fact, I plan to punish all you with bad jokes.
Punish?
If Future Paul doesn't edit this out.
Oh. Future Paul is going to consider it.
Okay.
No, now you have to say something involving the pun to force him to keep it in.
Yeah, yep. It's an old trick. Who's next?
I guess that'd be me. My name is Mike. I've been playing D&D or other related games since I could actually hold the dice without trying to eat them. So, like, 2 years. No, actually, more along the lines of, like, 25. But Rob is my brother, and, we kind of entered into this gaming, the world of gaming together all those years ago. So
even though I said 20, you said 25.
Yeah, I think I'm more accurate.
Yeah, I was trying to round up.
Yeah.
Or round down, you whatever.
Rounded down, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's...
No fun fact?
Thought that was a fun fact.
About eating the dice.
Oh, okay, fair.
No, spit it out.
All right.
No one's gonna.
Colin, do you want to go? Or do you want Natalie to go?
Natalie.
Hello. I'm Hello, I am Natalie.
Princess Sparkles.
No. And I've been playing D&D for it's gonna be 2 years in April. I want to say.
Yeah.
It's gonna be 2 years soon ish. Fun fact about me. I helped sort of create Riverside City. While I was helping, I tried to be as funny as possible by adding the most randomest things, and yet somehow it ended up in this game, as well as the book Paul was talking about. So there's the shit posting.
If you ever hear the name Adorable Tiger, that's her fault. All right, Colin.
Hi, I'm Colin. I've been playing video games in general for about 23 years and tabletop games for about 10. I originally got into Dungeons and Dragons through DDO and Neverwinter Nights. And a fun fact, I have a wall of hot sauces in my refrigerator.
There you go. All right.
And I just remember why you have that. Okay, cool. I'm good with that, you guys. We had a little... we tried to record a session zero, and it didn't necessarily go the way we planned. Let's be clear. The audio was awful, and it had many issues. If I might eventually release it, but the odds of that are very, very slim. So I'm going to give a little bit of world background, and then we'll get into it. So major differences between the world we all live in and the world of where Riverside City is a place are that superpowers are real. Capes are here are superheroes, cowls are supervillains, and hoods are anti-heroes slash vigilantes, usually leaning more towards the darker side. If you think Punisher, you're in the right realm.
Yes.
And Rob is pointing to himself and smiling about the Punisher comment, and I'm still taking it out. maybe. I'm not sure.
Well, now it makes sense.
So 65 years ago, there was the Ides of March tragedy, which you won't care about at all until later. It created a giant crater that wiped out St. Louis. Riverside City was built in its place. It's actually built, some of its part built into the crater walls, specifically the Suck, which you'll hear about later. The buildings are all built out of this special gray material that's 10 times stronger than concrete that they found on the right, the eastern side of the city. That's a lot of information you don't care about, but you might later. Millennium Lake is in the middle of which there is a place they just called Detention. It's like a super, super max for superheroes, for supervillains or cowls. The Mississippi River runs right down the middle of the town, into the lake and out of the lake, and then out the other side. The only other real thing I need to tell you about the city is there's you'll hear the name Alano a lot. It's Alano Corp is the biggest company in the world. They do a lot of mostly green tech. And in the southeast of the city, there's a 3 mile across, 100-story tall arcology with tower. It's massive. People could live their entire life in there and never feel like they lost something because it's that big inside. This is a near future podcast. It's about 2025. Tech's a little bit farther along due to there being supers whose powers lend themselves to tech and can figure out how it works. But beyond that, it's, you know, our world pretty much. Chicago exists, DC exists, Riverside City is like Washington DC. It's kind of its own thing because there's just too much money and power in one place that we can't let that be controlled by Illinois because they'll waste it. So with that, we're gonna get right into it if everyone's good with that. Do I hear any complaints? I have shaking heads and no voice from Colin, so I'm gonna take that as that we're good to go. All right. So we're gonna flash to our characters who they'll describe themselves later. In an underground training facility. It's about the size of a football field, long and wide, so it's a pretty massive built underground thing with about 150-foot ceilings. It's massive. You guys know that it is underneath the Alano Arcology. It's underneath there. And there, you know, this is not the only one of these they have. That's this big underneath.
What, Paul?
Yeah.
I thought we were in the middle of a field.
Yep, I decided that does not make much sense where I was going with this. Also, I flashed forward a week.
Oh. Okay, yeah.
I'm getting there.
Three levels in a week. Damn.
Intensive training. What Colin's referring to is in session zero, they ended up in a forest clearing where they actually met their benefactor, who I'll talk about later. But we're flashing forward a week and we'll do a flashback to kind of explain what was going on there. I have it planned in every, what was that?
All like? This flashing, I'm going to have a seizure.
They're underneath, it's in a massive, 300 foot by 300 foot or bigger than that, room with 150 foot plus ceilings. There's an obstacle course, shooting range, combat trainers for anything you want to be able to do. Swords, fisticuffs, martial arts, mages. There are actual magic is real. We'll get there later. We'll explain why.
It's 5e, so
yeah. There's an impressive craft services table. Half meat friendly, quarter vegetarian, quarter vegan.
Who is sponsoring this training?
I'm getting there.
No, who? Okay.
Yeah. And
no, not that. I meant food wise. Who's sponsoring it? Who is giving us the food?
Oh, who?
Like, is it a McDonald's or is it gonna be?
No, it's.
What's his name?
It's Arch. It's Zeus.
No.
Oh.
You know how Panera will have
it's a Coke spread because together somewhere. Tastes better.
Hmm? Yeah.
They'll have a spread on a table and a convention, and it's like, oh, come to the Panera table. And okay. Come grab your free bagel.
Okay, so it'll be sponsored by Antoine's Bakery. Antoine's Bakery in downtown Riverside City. They make the best waffles.
Who's the
Who's
the Italian?
Some map. Stromboli.
Stromboli.
Yeah, Stromboli is, it has, there's like pizza from Stromboli's, which is a family pizza place as well. And calzones. And yeah, but in there, you, one of the person you're in, the characters are interacting with most is a about 6'2" blonde man with a blue, like, not tracksuit, but like super suit with, you know, a lightning bolt on the chest with a lightning bolt A on his chest. And that's, he's known as Zeus. He is also known as Archie or Arturus Alanopoulos. He's the majority shareholder for Alano Corp, the, you know, biggest company in the world. He's a cape. He's a hero for fun and for, because he can, so he does. He's also a character I'm playing another campaign. That's why I know a little bit more about him and why he's so prevalent here.
And there's a girl talking to chipmunks in the corner.
Yeah, and there's a girl who's talking to like different rodents and kicking people's asses as when they start make fun of her. about a week, you know, I referenced a week ago a couple different times in the introduction here, and the event I'm talking about is called the Surge. And so a week ago, there was a newscast going, and there was a woman named Veronica Martin, who's a tall woman with long blonde hair, and she says, it says breaking news across the bottom, and she says, it looks like a wave of energy has swept across the entire world, and it doesn't seem to be dissipating. The experts have yet to discover what energy this might be, but we are looking into it. And then she arches her back very, you know, like kind of like there's something between her shoulders, and she's wearing like a dress with open shoulders. And as you watch, giant white wings burst out of her back, and she says, "Wow, this feels great!" And it flashes over to a different anchor named Richard Butler. And he starts to make excuses about, we're sorry, it was technical difficulties, that was a stunt, blah, blah, blah. And then as you watch, spiral, like, ram's horns come out of his forehead until they, come out the back of the side of his head. And then the news feed just seems to go to commercial, and it stays there for a long time. When they come back, it's just someone with the weather, like a recorded weather segment. But that is what the Surge was. The Surge, probably 99.99% of the world gained superpowers in some limited fashion, at least. There are mundanes left. They're very rare and unlucky. Most of the people agree they're unlucky because less than 1 in 10 people have like a physical manifestation of their powers. So in life, they don't even know what power you have. But everyone has a power of some sort or other. So I'm gonna have everybody now that we've got everybody back. I'm gonna ask two things. What are you doing for training in the underground arena or underground like training area? And we'll do that one for now, and I'll ask the other one later.
This is just in general, or yeah, at the moment?
Yeah, right now, if you're looking at your character, what are they doing to train?
So my character is Daemon, Blood Hunter. And he'd basically be currently doing hand-to-hand combat with rapier, and if weapons are provided, he will actually do some stuff marksmanship related.
Yeah, they're all provided. All right. What about Rico, also known as Mr. Booming Pants,
also known as the Weasel?
Yes, Mr. Weasel. Weasel. Pants.
All right. So what's Rico up to?
He's practicing with his newest explosions and things that he can do. Spell work.
Cool.
Weasel is a demolitions expert. His power set involving explosions.
I believe it's called Boom.
Mr. Boom. Like Big Boom.
Mr. Boomy Pants it is. All right.
Sorry.
So, Colin, you want to go next?
Yeah, Harold's running obstacle courses and doing target shooting while moving.
Target?
So Harold has the power to manifest light at his fist, so he's recently learned how to shoot that, so he's just getting used to it while moving.
Cool. And then we've got, last but not least, we have, what's her name?
Luna, a.k.a. Bright Forest, a.k.a. but not happily, a.k.a. Princess Sparkles.
At least it's not Princess Sparkly Pants.
So the thank
it
God.
Almost was.
No. She
now you
is.
You know how I feel.
But mine was funny. Focus. So she is probably I don't even know what, like, training with a great sword, like hitting it over and over again with a lot of anger and force behind it. Almost like there's some pent-up aggression in there.
All right. So I'd like each of you to okay, this week you guys should know. What were you guys doing when the surge occurred a week ago? It happened at, like, 2 in the morning.
So,
or 4 in the morning? I think it was 2 in the morning.
So my character, Deimos, that's his character name, but he was actually in his cape form, which is his heroic identity. Daemon, not to be confused.
Yeah. You picked the worst name. To go with your name.
Yeah, I might change it.
Yeah, nobody remembers the pilot. Remember this.
Yep. He was actually out on the street during this. He already had his superpowers because as part of his heritage. Some characters in this world have had their powers for a while. I just noticed that Paul didn't mention that, so I figured I'll just reinforce it.
I said superheroes and stuff have been around.
I'll just reinforce the fact.
Yeah, it used to be about 100,000 supers in the world. Now it's all of them, but a lot of them are much lower powered.
My character has healing based powers, cure wounds, healing words, stuff like that. But he was out on the street during the surge, and he was on patrol during the surge. He's trying to find as much information that he could. Part of the way throughout his exploring the new world of surged people, he was called into work. His secret identity has a job at the hospital as a RN, and he kind of was forced into that kind of situation to go back to work after working 16 hours, I think we said.
It was 12. I mean, you do a double.
He was called back in. He had to eventually deal with a man that was on fire. He had to figure out how to solve that guy's situation. It took a flame-retarded blanket, covered him up, and calmed him down. The person managed to control his flames enough that he has only a flaming mohawk versus being completely on fire. Yeah. So now his new nickname is the Firehawk.
All right, I appreciate you going into detail. That's a lot of what happened in Session Zero, but, man, that was a hot mess. So let's do Colin next, because I like to switch up orders.
Yeah, so Harold was also out on the street that night, but not due to as much of a choice as... So Harold's homeless. So he also usually doesn't sleep a lot. So he usually walks around at night to try and collect cans to resell for food money. So that night he's took out a couple of newly awakened supers who are just getting a bit power drunk in addition to normal drunk, and just did his normal rounds of helping out people who needed a bit of help here and there, letting their cats out, smaller stuff like that. He then just did his normal. He didn't really notice that much of a difference because he usually tries to avoid others, and just went about his life. Sold his cans, made chili for his friends, and went to bed as normal. So he was contacted a few weeks later.
All right. I appreciate that. All right. Let's push up the order again. Let's go back to Mike.
Yay. Weasel was asleep till his cape grandfather.
El Combustion!
Yes, El Combustion. Woke him up and dragged him out of bed so that he could go and help people. After being catapulted across the river.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of heights. That sucked.
But
I did not know that. Good to note. Let's note down. Weasel hates heights. Got it.
Not so much a hate, just a dislike. And it's not so much
details.
It's
details.
Not so much the falling that's the problem.
It's the sudden impact at the end.
Yeah.
Weasel dislikes heights.
No, he dislikes.
He also dislikes pinatas, but that's another story.
What? The most random thing. I hate pinatas.
Paul asked for a fun fact.
That's a fun fact.
Yep.
You're the one with explosive powers, right?
Yes.
That's what I'll explain now.
Yes. As a kid, he was swinging at a pinata and it couldn't hit it. So he got mad, took off the blindfold, and blew it up. He got grounded for a long time. So he has a general hatred of pinatas.
All right.
Okay, now go back to your grandfather.
Yes. He dragged me across the city to...
The suck,
so that we could help out with anybody that was in trouble. And included some... a guy who got stuck inside his house because he grew to, what was it, 20 feet tall,
15 feet tall. It was 20 feet tall. He couldn't even get out the window.
So Weasel blasted out the wall enough that the guy could get out, and the guy was fine.
Thank God for superhero insurance.
Yeah.
And he asked his wife, hey, honey, can you turn up our cape insurance? Why? Just do it!
Have it include damage.
Yeah. And his son Weasel, has an elephant
yes.
trunk and ears.
After that, Weasel found somebody who had issues with their powers. They were producing acid and they didn't want to hurt people. Weasel convinced them that there are ways they can use harmful powers to help people. He has experience with that, seeing as his powers are literally explosive. So he helped her find help from Professor Tenzi, one of the smartest people in the world. I say one of.
She probably is the smartest person in the world, unless there's someone whose powers kicked in that is smarter than her now. She doesn't know, which is exciting for her. Because mm-hmm. something she doesn't know is not it's not a long list. I think she doesn't know at this point.
Weasel helped out around the suck, made sure that everybody was okay, got a phone call from his best friend, went to investigate that, found out his friend now has fire abilities. So
he can control fire.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting future.
All right. Thank you for that, Mike. Going on, last but not least.
So Luna was at home. She was grounded for... She was grounded for, I think her mother had people over, and when her mom asked, do you want to join us? She goes, hell no, and then didn't realize that there were people over, and then she got grounded, and there was some benefit, and so she was home alone doing her homework, and then the glitter powers formed. She blew up a desk.
Her desk.
Her own desk. There was something else that she burned. Didn't she burn down the door?
You put a hole in the wall.
Oh, I put a hole in the wall.
Proceeded to lift the bookshelf in front of the hole.
Moved the bookshelf to the wall. And then I believe she threw the remainder of her desk out the wall or out the window.
Yeah, out the yep. window.
And then blew that off.
And then something else blew up. There was a lot of...
You blew that up.
Oh.
The debris from
and
the
And left a divot in the yard, like 3 foot deep.
I'd left a divot in the yard. The pristine yard. Luna's parents are, like, politicians in Riverside City.
Or her dad is.
Well, her dad is, and her mom is just, like, a socialite. And obviously Luna does not want a part of that life, but... Yeah, a pristine green lawn now has a divot in it, and so Luna had to explain what happened, and she and it was really random. Was that it?
You had to escape to... Yeah, you were taken away to your family.
Oh, yeah. Oh, jeez. Afterwards.
You want me to shortcut that, or you want... Hey, you know what? How about this? If I do eventually put up Session Zero... The best part of it's probably right near the end.
Yeah.
Like the last 5-20 minutes of it are the best part. I might just release that. That was really funny.
What? Her?
It's like a sound bit. It's like a bonus content if we ever do that.
Okay.
I might trim that and cut out just the good parts.
the highlight bits.
The highlights of the thing. Like,
I think that's it. But then, like, also her mom, she doesn't know what her mom's powers are. She knows her dad can turn into
a dog.
Her younger, and he
always has dog ears and a dog tail.
They always have a dog ears and dog tails. Her one brother is also a dog, and then her older brother is a bear. And they always have those ears and tail. And now I just realized what a person would look like with bear ears and a bear tail.
No, they have some of the regular ears. They have additional.
I know, but
very cute bear ears.
Your dad was against superpowers.
Yes, he is.
Her dad is leading the charge in Riverside City of anti-cape litigation. He's so anti-cape, he said they joined a group against him.
And now he has powers.
And now he has powers, so he can suck it. But we'll figure out how that goes.
I didn't know that he was part of a camp. Well, running a campaign against it. But
he's part of, there's a group that do that.
Yeah.
All right, and with that, we're going to move on to tonight's adventures.
Tonight.
So Archie or aka Zeus is going to call you guys into a room that you guys would know. He just calls the war room. It's centrally located underneath the archaeology, and it has a bunch of nice chairs. And there's a really smart table with hologram functionality that uses to show you around town and things that you could do. So. And he walks in and says, "Well, hey, welcome everybody." And he welcomes you all by name because, and I'm not going to do that right now because, I'm not doing that.
As you walk in,
you welcome Damon. No, he'd call you by your cape name.
Yeah.
Welcome Damon Weasel
Glitter Force.
Bright Force.
Damn it.
Glitter Bright.
No!
Bright Princess Sparkle.
And not her, I'll get it. Bedlam.
Yeah.
Yeah, got it. This is a cool thing. Because I had every player write up a backstory. If they gave me a backstory before we started the campaign, I gave them a bonus. In particular, Weasel / Rico's bonus was his pet weasel is now his familiar. Her name is Princess Cece, Queen, heir to the throne of White. How close am I?
You are pretty close.
Her name is longer than mine, and my last name has 12 characters. Okay.
let me pull up the right history.
Not one in Spanish.
Yeah.
So when Mike initially posted his history to Paul, it was all in Spanish.
Neither of us really speak Spanish.
And my message back to him was, English if you want credit.
English, por favor.
No, English if you want credit.
I was going to translate mine into Latin, but I decided to keep it calm.
Ah, yes, it is. Princess Cece of Cece, heir to the throne of White. I had that right. Glorious goddess and shining weasel. Yeah, a.k.a. Cece. Or
C4.
C4. For obvious reasons. As you walk in, and I don't think anyone else has gotten their bonus yet. Am I correct?
Correct.
I'm saving that for something cool. If you guys think of something neat, let me know. I'm always open for ideas. I make no promises for you. So as you walk in, you see, you know, the normal Zeus in his outfit, you know, his super suit, and or it's just his suit, as they call them, with a capital S. Can you imagine it? But next to him is a...
question. Can we rename his suit to a Zoot with a Z?
No.
Instead of an S?
Zito.
Do you really want there to be some more riots?
What was that, Colin?
Do you really want there to be more riots?
Yeah, no thank you. No Zoot suits are a thing. There's a woman next to him wearing a nice business suit. So Archie is going to introduce this woman to you. She says, "Hi, this is Nine." She is just in a business suit, and she looked just professional as anything. He says she's going to be your handler from now on because I can't keep being your direct handler with all the stuff I have going on right now. The world's a dangerous place, and when you can teleport across half of it in a second, you're in demand a lot of places. He says, I trust her with a lot. I trust her with my family regularly. So
Her name is Nine.
Nine. Like the word, like Nine. Like the number.
Like the German word for no.
No, like the number.
Well, no, because that would be spelled differently.
Yeah, I already got the reference.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's she goes by Nine. She's one of the deadliest people. She's the ninth deadliest person I know.
And that was the reference.
I know.
That's what I was saying. And yeah. You said, no, not that.
Generator Rex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was also trying to be quiet.
I love that series. Generator Rex is the bomb.com. If you have fan or if you have like anything Generator Rex, send it my way. I'm in. Just to be clear. She's
you might regret that.
Definitely.
Oh, you definitely gonna regret that.
I have the power to block people. It's not gonna bother me.
You can't block them all.
Yeah.
Sure I can. You underestimate my powers.
No, I don't.
You're gonna wanna cut that. Trust me. Trust
yeah.
me.
Yeah, don't never mind. Let's hey, future going. Paul, I'm sorry I did that to you.
Small heart attack.
all right. So she walks over, she walks over and shakes each of your hands. She's a short lady, but she is very like, or I guess she's a medium height lady. She walks over, but her handshake is firm like iron. I mean,
okay.
Negative one strength.
Same.
No, I'm gonna try and like do this like a strength. Oh,
you
know,
break her,
you
would break her hand. She's just
no.
It's a firm.
I want to give her an extremely firm handshake.
I mean, roll a d20.
Yes.
Add strength.
Are we all doing 10? This?
No. I assumed only she was trying this.
He went negative. He rolled an 11.
Four in total, 14. I rolled a 9 plus 5.
Yeah, I rolled a 2 14. plus 1. So, a 3.
I'm not going to break her hand.
I could win?
I'm
not. I won even.
Yeah, no. But it's, you know, it's just like.
It's a business person.
It's someone who is all business. It is the most like crisp. Like, I've done this a million and a half times. Done.
What was her reaction to our handshake?
She says, "Oh,
you're one of those."
You. Oh no, I have that reputation.
So she says, "I'm Nine." She says, "I'll be your handler. I will not be with you all the time, but I am always available. If you need to call someone, call me. If it needs to be run under the food chain, I'll do that." She says, "If I'm in a fight, you'll see me with two short swords. Don't get nearby. It's not good." And, you know, just to be clear, and as you watch, two short swords just appear in her hands. You saw her arms blur a little bit, but there are two short swords in her hands, and she looks like she knows how to use them, you know. And then they flash away. Actually, they're like energy short swords, but yeah.
See? That's a knife.
Want to fight her? Sorry.
Hey, she says not yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So Archie says, "Well, I really do have to run, but I do have a gift for each of you before I go." So Archie walks over to a cabinet and pulls his electricity into it, almost like it's like his fingerprint or his unique identifier, and pulls out 5 smartphones. They look up. You've never 4 smartphones. No, you know, he gives one to Nine too. Why not?
Did you already have one?
She's like, "Wow, I already have this one."
Right. They're really burning money here.
What was that kind of?
They're really burning money here. Every time you attend a meeting, you get a free smartphone.
All right.
Like,
so
we got covered. I know. Luna just goes, "This is. I mean, I already have this one."
So he walks over to the cabinet, gets 4 smartphones out. They look like the newest model of a phone, which is like iPhone, but Elano, not Apple. Same kind of like unified styling, but less restrictive. Apple still exists and iPhone still exists, but a phone is a direct competitor. Kind of like the Pixel is, but not as, but more unified because the Pixel is kind of scattered right now. I have one, I can say that. So he hands it to each of you, and as you touch it, you can feel it kind of draw off the unique energy inside of each of you.
No.
Yeah, no, you feel it. It doesn't start ticking. But what it does?
Pulls up a timer.
Okay, guys, come on, you're killing me here. He's dying, so maybe that's not bad. So as you touch it and it it absorbs a little bit of your power. Your names, your cape names appear across the screen, and it says, "Welcome, insert cape name here." He says,
"That's a bug. You should say Damon, not cape name."
Wow. When he said he was going to kill us with puns, he fucking meant it.
Yes!
So he says each of these will draw off of your natural energy or any of the energy off of the surge, you know, the energy that's still across the world. It should never go out. It should never run out of power, ever. It's bleeding edge tech. We developed it literally 2 days ago. You have four of the six prototypes. I have one. Well, I had one. I have the next one because I broke the other one. I have a tendency to do that. But you guys have the other four tests, and there's no one being made, but you have four of the remaining five existing phones like this in the world. So anywhere, as long as that energy exists, it'll have power. And it'll have some battery after that, but not a lot, because it's an adaptive charging kind of thing. It's complicated. Suffice to say, your phones will always work. Hopefully. He says, why is my phone ringing? And he walks to the corner of the room. He says, "What? I was that is important. Really? Oh, son of a bitch. Is Archon gonna be there? Oh, I gotta go. Damn it. All right. I have to leave. I'm sorry. Nine will give you your mission. It should be, hopefully it's fun. I have to leave. Goodbye." And he literally just disappears. He teleports out. All right, so Nine walks over like she has seen this 1,000 times and walks over to the table and starts tapping on a keyboard that appears and says, "All right, are you guys ready for your first official mission?"
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Weasel will walk over to a chair and perch on it. He doesn't actually sit in chairs. He kind of crouches on them.
And that's his third fact.
There it is.
All right, so you guys go over and sit down because she's like going to do a little presentation. I'm assuming I heard a yes from Colin. Mm-hmm. All right, perfect. I really wish I had headphones in so I could hear you better. So Nine walks over to the table and starts typing out. And as you look, a map of Riverside City appears in front of you, the crater and the river and the whole nine. Funny. And she says, "All right, so we've been informed that there is a gang looking to try and take over the Suck. All of them got powers, and all of them think that it should be their place to live now." I don't know why they picked the Suck, but they did. I guess maybe they figured the other place would be better defended. Entirely possible. But I'm going to leave you guys to it and figure out, and I'm going to assume you guys can handle it. I heard our intel shows that there's no more than a dozen. I figured with your training, you could probably handle it. Ask me any questions you have. I'll give you any answers I have.
Last known location, besides just the Suck, is on this and this
eastern,
street.
The eastern edge of the Suck.
Are they gathering, followers? Are they growing? Are their numbers growing?
Yes. They've gained. They started out as a group of 10. They are now up to 12. And we have intel showing that they've got at least 3 or 4 more who are on the outs with them right now. Wow. This is the least inquisitive cape team I've ever worked with.
I mean, we just have to go beat them up, right?
Yes, I have to find them, but...
Oh, you said they were on the east side.
Yeah, so. that's a big area.
Are they loud, or are they,
No, conniving? They're scary quiet.
Scary quiet.
So their leader, no one's ever heard him talk.
Their leader talk?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's keep going, I guess.
Hmm.
Any chance I can replace, get one of them fancy guns over there?
Yeah, I have to explain that. I was supposed to do that. I forgot. Okay.
I tried.
I know, and I said I'll do it, and I'm doing it now. So, in this world, after the surge happened, people tried to take their firearms and hurt people, take their things, because there was some rioting. Fun fact, the gunpowder never seemed to work. Despite whatever they tried, it never went off. The material we know as gunpowder doesn't work. Anything that's tried to use like gunpowder doesn't work. Almost like there's an energy preventing it. If you know how the Forgotten Realms doesn't have gunpowder, except for the fact that it is used to clean rusty metal, Because by the way, if you dip something rusty in gunpowder and a little bit of water, it comes out sparkly clean. I learned that when I was looking up how the Forgotten Realms does gunpowder. So explosives exist, but if you're trying to use it to launch a projectile, it fails. Kind of like, mostly just gunpowder doesn't. And they have had energy weapons for years, but they weren't. They don't shoot rapid fire like. You can't pull the trigger 9 times in a second, in two seconds, like you can a pistol. It's one, and then you wait a second, and then one, and wait a second. And as you get better training, you can do it more quickly. But it's nothing like the fire race where everyone's used to, with the exception of some very high tech rifles. So the world is there are no more firearms per se. Everything is done with energy blasters because one, you can set them to not kill. And that's really nice. A policeman doesn't shoot somebody and accidentally kill them. They just knock them out. And that's a big deal to me. And I did that with my world because I want it to be a better place. And yeah, I'm leaving that in there. So, but yeah, so you asked about one of the fancy guns over there.
Mm-hmm. Throw myself with this light crossbow.
You will be provided with the equivalent of a light crossbow, which I will go look in.
There's a lot.
Yeah, that's the equivalent for the proficiency
energy rifle. I think
that'd probably be the base.
I'm looking for the pistol.
You'll be provided with a basic energy pistol.
Just one.
Do I care? Do I want to give him one or two? You can have one of those. You can have two of those or one of the tactical energy pistols,
which is a D10.
Correct.
Are you proficient with the heavy crossbow?
He's proficient with all martial weapons.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah. So I made a bunch of weapons that are for modern day. So, like, if you want something, like, there's a stun baton. If you're proficient in a sap in regular D&D, you're proficient in a stun baton, because that makes sense.
Yes.
I guess. But
almost everybody's proficient with simple weapons.
Almost. Wizards? No. Four weapons. Quarterstaff, light crossbow, sling, I think, and a dagger, if I remember correctly. But yeah, so anyone else need any supplies before they go out?
I have a shield, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're a great weapon fighter, though.
Doesn't mean she doesn't want to swap to it.
True. Do you need a sword to go with it?
I would assume that she already has been using a great sword.
Yeah, but you can't use a shield with a great sword.
True. Okay, never mind.
But you can have one.
I mean, yeah, you can then also get a longsword and shield.
Or in this case, it's an energy saber. But no, that's very expensive.
I mean, I would assume that she's using the great sword that she owns.
No, they offer you an energy broadsword because that's the equivalent.
Okay.
I'll take a wrist blaster.
It's offered to you. Ask for one thing.
No, I didn't ask for it. I'm taking it.
Yeah.
Without them knowing.
As you go to walk outside, beep, beep, beep. Damn it.
Do I see him just doing this?
Just one clip each, or?
Yeah, you'll each get, if your weapon takes an energy cell, which I think all of them do at this point,
mm-hmm.
You'll each get two ballistic charges, two ballistic cells, which are like basic ammunition. Equivalent of $100 or 5 gold pieces, because if you do the math, gold pieces work out to be worth about $20.
And how is it to reload in this game?
It is a
move action, I believe, is standard.
That's not a thing in 5th edition. I'm going to say it takes a bonus action to reload.
Until you get a...
If you have a feat that does it, then you get it for free. But yeah, that's where I'm at. I don't know, Mike, I don't know if you looked at what I did about the scatter blasters.
I did.
You see the note?
Yep.
Nope. I will show
that. That's going to make for an expensive buy. But
yeah, I know.
It will be worth it.
All right. So,
that is insane, though.
Mm-hmm. The cost or the...
3D10? Three times?
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's expensive and it burns your ammunition like candy. So...
It's going to hurt.
Yeah. All right. So, you guys are ready to go. I did not bring down my cost of travel. Damn it. My little piece of paper that had what travel costs. How are you guys going to get there? Because you're probably 15 miles from the location.
Two of us have motorcycles.
I have a pitiful car.
I have
Oh, wow. And we got a guy with a shopping cart.
he was that away when I got here.
He's driving long distance cart.
So are you running or are you?
Yeah, I'll run there.
I asked, do you want a ride?
Nah, I'm good. I might find something on the way.
Okay. Oh, okay. Listeners.
How fast do you run?
45, 90 feet around.
90 feet in 6 seconds. How fast do you run?
Fun fact for listeners. My Luna has a car. What kind of car is it?
A Dodge Scoop.
It was like a little like energy, small, tiny car. And I believe was it pink? Or it might have been blue.
Oh, you know,
allowed me to pick the color, so it was blue.
You rolled a 20, yeah. You run 30 miles an hour, Colin. 33.554.
I go 28 miles an hour.
15 meters. Oh, that's meters.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, so, no, because I have the urchin background, when I'm in the city, I can navigate around it at twice my speed. My running speed is 45 base. Doubled it then for dashing.
90.
For 90, 180. And I found a chart that gives this feet to miles per hour. And 90 feet is 14, so I'm at 180. So I'm at 28 miles an hour.
Yeah, I mean, but then he doesn't have to stop for him. He can just jump shit.
Yeah.
All right. So,
but what's his jump distance?
His strength is low, so not good.
But here's the real question. I don't have to stop for traffic.
Yeah, so you're going to get there probably about the same time they do. Because they're going, they may be getting up to 45, 50, but they got to stop.
People in motorcycles that, you know, can navigate a lot.
And then it's Bright Force who's going to be holding up the people with her.
Princess Sparkles, you need a ride.
In her magical chariot.
All right. So, you guys are making your way towards the Suck. You're traveling through the districts whose names I created, I'm not remembering, because that's how my memory works. It's awful. Open that up, pulling up the big ass map.
I can't wait till someone's like, why'd you name that part of the town the Suck? That's mean.
Oh, yeah. So, you're traveling through the parts of New Athens, actually, then through New Milan, and then into the Suck. All right. The airport's up the crater a little bit and to the right and to the east. So what's something interesting you guys see or do on the way there?
So I know what I want to do when I get there, but I'll let other people go because that.
I'm not along the way.
Oh, I mean, it is kind of on the way, just like a few minutes out from there.
Okay.
Bright Force is listening to very angry rock music and is just screaming to get in the fighting mood.
Okay.
In that little tiny car, everyone's just like, what is she listening to?
Did we happen to actually get a name of the gang we're going up against? Or?
You didn't ask. I was waiting. No one asked.
Well, you got one of those phones.
I attempt to call 9.
It's speed dial. Number 9.
Roll.
Yes.
Roll a D. I'm sorry. I'm going to roll a D12.
That's how it works.
Call number. Phone.
12.
So then, yeah. So then 5, you're fine. It was, yeah, there was a 2 in 12, 1 in 6 chance of it not working. She answers, yeah.
What's the name of them?
They're calling themselves the Liberators.
Any clue why?
How they're going to liberate the Suck from its oppression.
And who do they think is oppressing them? Just the government or super
people? They're not their goals. Their leader doesn't speak out publicly, so we don't really know what their internal dogma is.
Any known power sets that they have?
A lot of them have movement. Have movement or damage. A movement style power sets or a lower grade explosive type power set.
All right.
So you guys rip around on your motorcycles. Little tiny car.
We need to find the name because now I feel stupid saying tiny car. What was the name of it?
Smart for two.
It's an IQ.
No, that was Collins. That was Collins' car. That was Collins' car.
The fucking cozy coupe. No, it was an IQ. No, it was a. It. Oh no, no, it was a smart. It was a smart for two.
Smart for two.
Yeah, you have a blue smart for two.
Blue smart for two.
Write that down. Blue smart for
two. Please.
So is Colin faster than the Cozy Coupe?
Probably.
I have to keep recharging it.
Are we talking about Harold or me? Either way, yeah.
So you guys approach the Suk, and you go from New Milan, which is very, very high-end buildings, mm-hmm. and then you reach, the border, just the border area between them, and that's where you find your, a high-end pawn shop, you know? Like, if you think Gold and Silver Pawn in Las Vegas from the TV show, they've got very nice things, but it's still a pawn shop, you know? You'll find, a jewelry store, but it's like a Zales, it's not, a super high-end. Or you find if you can things people would aspire to in the Suk, the people from New Milan are trying to prey on them, this is something nice that you could have if you spend all your money, you know?
What I'm hearing is I need to come back here later.
Jeff Foxworthy has a bit about Jeff Foxworthy Belongwell, I'm not sure which, has a joke about bass boats with glitter finish. Because it's shiny and it tricks people into spending their life savings.
Really?
That's the kind of shit that this has.
Predatory.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the reason they do that is so that they're more inclined to spend money on it because it's shiny. You've never seen a yacht with a glitter finish.
That's why,
we did see a Smart for Two with a glitter finish.
Oh, shush. the gambling boats don't, it pumps in what is it? Some scent that makes you want to spend money?
Sandalwood, I think?
I think something like that. Old person. That's what it smells like. I've been on a gambling boat. It smells like an old person. That's it.
That's just the old people.
It's just old people. Old people just smell like sandalwood.
I'm hearing that I need to come back to this particular area tonight.
But you've known about this place for years.
Oh, I know. They just need another lesson.
Get it.
Apparently, there's a bunch of different ones.
Okay.
Yeah. So you make it there, and you get to that barter district, and you notice that there are some building across in the Suk. There are some buildings with massive graffiti of a it's like a dynamite with there's a picture of the federal building. The FSA building next to it, and how they're going to use it to blow up. The FSA is Federal Superpower Agency. They are in charge of all capes and cowls in the United States. They have international. They're international, but that's a different. They have different names. I don't remember what those are. Probably ISA, International Superpower Agency, because that's easy. Most capes, their capes are pretty well split between if they work for them or work for an. It's probably a 50-50 split between working for a private company or solo and then working for the FSA. It's a pretty much 50-50 split until this point. I don't know where that's going to go from now because we haven't gotten there yet. You guys don't work for the FSA. You work with them sometimes, but you don't work for them, even though you could. You don't. And so you guys make it, but you see that graffiti, but you see it stenciled everywhere, every third or fourth building, and it's always in a spot near something important, an electrical meter or a water meter or something like that. It's never just in the middle of a wall. Everyone make perception checks for me.
Helpful.
How are you? How are you? You say that a lot.
Is there critical failures on skill checks?
Okay.
No.
I'm gonna go with.
Okay.
Four.
With you. I have a nine.
Rolled a five, total of a six.
I rolled a nine plus two is 11.
For a skill I'm proficient in, I suck.
Colin, did you build our ass out of the fire or not?
Proficient.
Sorry, I got a nine.
That would be a nine.
So is that with or without your stat?
That's with. I rolled a four.
So the high roll was an 11?
Yeah.
Y'all don't see dick. Keep moving.
So, Paul, this brings up the good thing of what I wanted to do. I wanted to go try and talk to some people, just see what's been going on since I've been gone for the last week.
Yeah, please do.
Yes. I have friends out here, too.
Describe where you're going, man.
I want to do this. I'm going to go and try and find my friend Jonah.
Who's Jonah?
Is he the guy with the whale?
Yeah. No. He's just one of the random homeless people I know. I usually help him out a bit. He lives on the, let's say, east side, far east.
Okay. What does Jonah look like?
He is a larger man, very bald. Hold on, I know. He's okay. Crazy. So his power that he got, well, he's had this before. He has the ability to perfectly predict the future with a 1% chance of it becoming activating.
I was going to say.
The other 99% of the time, it is completely false.
So it's like everyone else being able to guess we're all good.
Yes, but he is 1% of the time completely 100% accurate.
Oh my god. Like, what's that girl from Mean Girls? Just like, oh, I think it's gonna be.
Okay. That's a very strange power, but okay. Well, power is 1% chance to perfectly predict the future.
Yes.
And does it happen all the time, or is it like once a day?
Once per short rest. So he gets a vision of the future that he believes it's true, but it's only right 1% of the time.
And how many times has he thought there's a fucking alien invasion?
Oh, he still thinks there is. Thinks that's what caused everything.
Basically, he's the guy we see with the end is near sign.
The one who knows all the truth.
Is that Jonah? Hmm? Colin, is that Jonah?
Oh, he fell on the floor. Colin's gone.
So, Jonah, you walk up to Jonah, and yeah. Jonah is currently sitting, rocking underneath it wouldn't be a bridge over there, but there'd be a walkway across a street for like connecting two buildings, a skyway, and he's huddled underneath it with all his stuff.
Hey, Jonah, how's it going?
Awful.
Oh, what? Why now?
You made me roll percentiles. You know that? 47. Nope. He says, you know, aliens are coming tomorrow, and we're all screwed anyway, you know?
Ah, damn. Not again.
At least he's consistent when he's wrong. It's when he changes up the story, that's when you get worried. Yeah, he says, those bastard liberators signed up with the damn aliens.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who are these liberator people?
These punks. They showed up a couple days ago and kept saying it's their turf now and how we should either step up or step left and get out of their way.
Ah, yeah. Where are they around? I might go talk to them.
Well, they took over the old cannery down the way.
All right.
Hey, you got any of that good stuff? You know, I can't believe that good food keeps showing up. Did you do that?
Yeah, it's the man. I got a job and they started giving me food.
Yeah, but they're giving us all food, not just you. That's not normal.
Yeah, it isn't. Let me see. I don't know what's going on with that. I'll talk to them and figure something out.
All right. I don't trust many people, including you, but I'm trusting you for this. Figure out where the food's coming from. Are they drugging us?
I don't know. I actually don't know that.
Follow the money.
Follow the money. You gotta follow the money, Jonah. Follow the money.
All right. Yeah, well, they keep saying they're the Alano charity, so I'm assuming that's where the money came from.
All of the breadcrumbs.
Okay, Jonah.
All right. Well, after talking to you, I got to go find a new place to sit because you always bring trouble.
What? Nah. Just that have five you, times.
Have you met you? I got to go. And he gathers up his bag of stuff and just just walks off.
Okay.
Now, your friends are on the west side of the suck, which is like about 8 miles away from here if you want to go. But, you know, 8 miles in the city takes forever.
Okay.
Yeah. I have the hiccups.
Well, I'll text them. Oh, wait, I don't know how to use this. Shoot.
Wait, what?
I haven't had a phone in like 5 years. Oh, how recent is this?
2025?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So you would have had a smartphone.
Yeah, I'll just tell them when I get there. Nothing that can't be said.
I will let you, Mike, I'll give you a chance that you know someone in the area. If call a number on D12.
Oh. So
I'm gonna give you a 2 on either side. You do know somebody. Cool. And it's an 8, so it's pretty close. This is somebody you've spent not a ton of time with, but a little bit of time. That was very cute. What's their name?
We'll go with John. That's an easy one.
Yeah, that's a very generic one.
Yes.
All right. So, what's John like? Or you want me to describe him?
Up to you.
John's a like a 5 foot nothing accountant.
Okay.
Who lives in the sub because it's cheaper, but he lives really close to New Milan because the property values are better.
Okay.
Or the property values are going up because they're trying to gentrify the neighborhood. And he's trying, but he's trying to work the angle to the angle. But you've known him since he was a kid when he lived in the bad part of the suck. So you know that John lives like two doors down from where you are right now, above a bakery, because that just smells good.
Food is good.
It's like probably noon.
Yeah.
Let's say 1 o'clock. You had lunch.
Still grab some extra things on the way out.
Okay, you gonna talk to Joe? You gonna talk to John or?
Yeah. I'll send him a message saying I'm on my way up.
He says, all right, hey, bring the good bagels.
Right. A couple bagels, whatever. I don't know what's good. I'll just grab
some. You know what the good bagels are. It's the particular bagel this place is known for.
Okay.
What's the bagel shop called?
You ask a wonderful question.
That's a good question.
Would you like to poll the audience, or would you like to come up with it yourself?
Oh, I've got nothing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was thinking hole-in-one.
Okay.
That's a bagel shop?
Sure.
And it's got a golf theme, even though it's in the suck? Because they have delusions of grandeur?
Yes, they're hoping things will get better.
Yeah, they specialize in donuts and bagels and donuts.
Cool.
I was thinking puff it up, like cream puff it up. I don't know.
I like the whole
one. Bagel to differ?
I bagel to differ, yeah. So yeah, you go up and you hear like at least three or four locks popping.
Well, that would have been good practice.
Yeah, and then your friend John's there, and you haven't seen John since the surge.
Huh.
He has blue skin.
Ah, interesting. Hey, you seem a little down? Yeah. I was going to say blue, but that seemed a little blunt.
he says, I know, and he gets red.
Oh, okay. That's neat.
Not really. He sounds very grumpy.
I can tell.
You got the good bagels?
Yes.
Excellent. He takes them. He goes like a dull gray / silver. A little bit of yellow to it.
Okay.
He says, so it brings you over my way. I know you usually stay on the west side.
Yeah. Heard some stuff about, what were they called? The Liberators?
Bastards.
What's going on with that? You know?
Wrecking my property values is what they're doing.
Well, you know me. I aim to fix stuff like that.
All right. Well, I heard the old canneries where they used to be.
Right.
But they took over the one of the care clinics down the way.
Okay.
Looking for the drugs, if I had to guess, bastards.
All right. What's up with the graffiti? I mean, I guess that's their mark, but what's...
There's only one guy out doing it, but whenever the cops show up, he does it on their cars, and then they stop working.
Hmm.
He's got this weird paintbrush that comes out of his hand. Well, weird spray paint that comes out of his hand.
Hmm. All right. That'd be something to watch out for.
Yeah. Just he spray paints their cars, and then they stop driving. And they start to smoke. Then they get out.
Yeah. Yeah, smoking cars are bad. I hear it's bad for the lungs.
Oh, hey, do you want a bagel? He's already eaten the other three bagels he bought. No, there's one bagel left.
Go for it.
He's like, awesome. Yours, man. He eats it. And he says, you know, this the stupid changing color skin thing, awful. I mean, I can, but I like know what it's made out of now.
That sounds like it has its ups and downs.
Yeah, but I got a job offer for it.
Oh, awesome!
They call it a super taster.
Yeah, don't work. Don't go to McDonald's ever again.
Don't eat hot dogs.
Yeah, don't eat hot dogs.
I made that mistake. That's how I found out it was not a good day.
No.
They call me. They call it a super taster, which I know is actually a real job.
Yeah.
I know someone who tried to become a super taster, but he cannot taste bitter, so he could not be a super taster.
Aww.
That's why he loves coffee, because he can't taste the bad part of it. Yeah, he says, I start work next week. They're even going to buy me a new apartment in the stacks.
Awesome.
I'm going to keep this place at a rent.
Yeah.
He says, now, you being here lowers my property value.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
I'll give you a soda for the road, but you got to leave.
Yep. No, I appreciate the offer. I'm just going to head out. You know, I don't need a soda.
Give me a call next time you're in the stacks and I'll take you out we'll go to lunch with you.
That sounds like a plan, John.
Goodbye. And he literally ushers you out the door and closes it.
Yeah.
Like, this
on
is
the
a
way
dude.
Back out, I'll grab donuts.
They're very good.
Donuts are a better choice for him, Weasel. So he'll grab like He'll grab 2 dozen, one for him and one to share.
Yeah. And CC just crawls into the box and starts gnawing.
Yeah, of course.
All right. I mean,
that is her right.
As the princess. So you guys finally make your way down towards, you finally do gather up together. Because you know, I don't believe Deimos or Luna had know anybody in this area. This is,
yeah, I'll call them and be like, hey, I'll call everybody, but make sure it's like, hey, let's, the care clinic might be a good place to start investigating.
Colin?
Huh? What? What's this phone doing? What?
Hello?
Hello? I'm shouting in this in the middle of the street.
Shaking.
Do you answer the phone or not?
Probably. I'll roll a d20.
Because I am running. Roll plus intelligence.
This is also, I'm running in the middle of the street.
He's going to get hit by a car.
I mean, it's a loud area. I'm not used to
entering.
It. So that's, I got a 12.
Which is good for you, high or low?
I already rolled. Let's go low. I got a 9.
You almost get nicked by like a compact car, but you swerve.
Oh shit! Is that a blue one?
Not a compact car.
Was it a Smart 14?
No, it was a Hyundai of some kind.
You sure wasn't blue Smart 14?
That would be funny, but
okay, not
now. Did you figure out the phone or not?
Yeah, I did.
All right, so you answered, and yeah. So what Mike said was, he heard the care clinic was a good place to check out.
How far away are we from there?
You know the area, so.
No, like how far? Mark? That's what I'm asking.
Like about a mile away.
Okay, how far away is the cannery?
Half a mile.
Okay. Yeah, I heard from a friend that the cannery is where they're at.
I'd heard that too, but they moved on is what I was, my understanding was.
Okay, well, I'll swing by. I'm like half a mile away from there. I'll check it out and then head over to the care clinic. Well, I'll give you a call first if I don't see anything.
I bought donuts for you guys if you want some.
Thank you.
Was that rustling noise as Bedlam is running towards where the donuts are?
Wait, no, I'm running to the cannery first, not the donuts.
I was being funny, but yeah. It's not like you dropped your fucking leg as you're running towards the donuts.
Oh, no, I didn't.
All right.
Stars whiz past me, and I'm not watching where I'm going.
He's so excited he saw a cannery. He's like, I love it.
It's a cannery. They have lots of scrap there.
All right. So who is going to the cannery?
I am.
I was going to go to the clinic.
Oh, clinic. Sorry.
It's just Bedlam going to the
two. If you go to the cannery with Bedlam, then we'll go to the clinic and we'll meet you there. Or call us if there's any updates.
To the cannery.
All right. So you ride your motor. So I say you.
Actually, if I was just half a mile away, I'll just stay on the line until I get there.
Yeah,
is there anything there?
You're probably very close.
You said I was half a mile away.
Deimos is probably very close as well because of where you guys are coming in. So as you both arrive relatively close at the same time and see this place looks up. It looks like there's a light or two on at the top near the top, like near where the offices would be, but that's about it. Everything else is pretty much abandoned. You see that there's a bunch of like energy drink bottles and cans and sodas and beers and cigarettes and things like that. It looks like a place where either teenagers go to party or there's been a lot of dumbasses here recently.
Investigation to determine the difference?
Sure. If you'd like to roll investigation or perception, I'll let you roll.
I'll roll perception.
You'll get different results, but...
I got a 20. I rolled a 16. 10,
so four for 14.
What was that count?
I rolled a 16 plus 5 for 21.
All right. So we'll do the perception first, then we'll do the investigation. Perception shows that it looks like there hasn't been any, like... You can kind of tell that this place hasn't been visited recently. With the exception of one door, looks like it's left partly ajar, and you can see something like a still smoking cigarette by the entrance with that nice 21. Investigation shows that this is definitely you can tell that it's not like cool. It's not what's that beer your dad talked about, Natalie? The nasty one. Keystone. It's not Keystone garbage.
Or a Costco brand.
Or like some Costco brand. It's like America's Ale and stuff like that. It's about a bunch of microbrews. This is not done by high school kids. There's no way they could afford it especially in this neighborhood.
So it's not a Malort.
It's not Malort, which is a very horrible tasting alcohol.
So is Keystone.
So is Costco brand.
Malort is a spirit, though.
Oh.
There it is.
All right. Yeah. So you do know that there's at least one door that is still active, and there is a still smoking cigarette butt nearby.
Okay. I'll point out the cigarette butt. Do you want to... Looks like no one's here. Do we want to waste our time here or just move on?
I think somebody is here.
You would gather that there's at least one or two people here, minimum, with there still being a smoking cigarette butt in a door that's partially ajar.
Do you want to go in or just move on? If we're trying to get these people quick.
Let's go in, but we might want to wait for our other two just in case. We don't want... Actually, we're probably the two stealthiest people in the party.
Yeah. Are there any other alternative entrances, Paul?
As fucking Mike looks so offended.
I'm not there. I can't say anything.
Literally.
Are there any other doors anywhere?
There's a bunch of other doors that all look like they're sealed tight.
Okay.
If you run around really fast, you'll notice that.
Okay. Well, let's try and sneak in then. See, what's the worst that could happen?
Want a list?
If I was there, I'd be staring directly at you right now.
I will draw a weapon and charge it.
Wait, what? Charge?
No, you just loaded an energy cell into it.
Oh, okay. Right.
Oh, you're going to charge it. Roll your
d4. Yep.
So he's a blood hunter, so he's currently using his Crimson Rite to see...
I take 3 damage.
He has charged his...
the
tactical blaster.
Yeah.
With energy. So you see... you want me to describe it, or do you want to describe it?
So, Willie's in his heroic identity. He has a lot more tattoos on him. You'll notice throughout the week that those tattoos aren't always there. But when he uses his Crimson Right, whenever I say that, a little bit of magic appears. The tattoos start to glow. He winces in a little bit of pain, and then his weapon then also starts to glow. In this case, it will be doing additional thunder damage, or lightning damage, and so it would have a electric blue color. Yep.
Cool. All right, so...
Too distinct because I could, my next one will be cold, so...
Oh, yeah, I guess electric blue or white. You know, purple for lightning, that works. So purple instead of blue?
Yep.
All right.
Wait, so to get this straight, you said we're some of the stealthiest people in the party, and then you started glowing.
Only a little bit while I use the ability.
And then it died. All right, if you'd like to try and enter stealthily, roll that. Or if you'd like to check for traps, do that. Or if you'd like to see what... Yeah, roll.
I'm just going to start walking in. I rolled a 11 plus 7 for 18 stealth.
Okay.
I rolled a 10 plus 6 for 16.
Stealth?
Yep.
So you guys are just going in?
Yeah, we'll be watching.
I can't really check
where we're going, but...
All right, so I need to go look something up, because I didn't think y'all would do that without at least looking down.
He went first before I could roll.
All right, well, I need a dex.
I mean, we're not walking blind, but I mean, what's the passive perception check on it?
Or passive investigation?
It'd be passive investigation for this.
Okay.
I have a 14 for passive investigation.
Yeah, you'll see it.
I will attempt to stop.
Yeah.
Roll a dex save. This is not a bad dex save. This is a good when you're trying to catch him from triggering the tripwire.
10 plus 7 for 17?
Yeah, you'll catch him. Colin, he's...
16, sorry.
It's fine. As you go to step forward, you feel Deimos' hands on your back, and he points down, and there's a tripwire by the door. Oh,
thanks, good catch. You don't see those every day.
Bright Force just turns to Weasel in the parking lot and goes, man, I really hope they're not doing anything stupid right now, or especially getting caught or tripping a wire.
My money's on Damon causing
trouble. That's fair. My money's on
Bedlam
collecting cans as much as possible.
I'm holding myself back.
Oh, no! It's just going to be us two now.
What was that, Colin?
I'm literally holding, surrounded by cans, and I'm holding myself back. I'm being a good Bedlam.
All right, back to them.
All right. Yeah, it looks like the wire is connected to some kind of grenade.
Huh.
Like a full-on military-grade grenade. This is not like a pipe bomb. This is a fucking grenade.
Do I think you can disable it and collect it?
It looks like they've like welded on a wire to it. You really wouldn't be able to throw it.
No, but I could use it like a flail and throw it that way.
Once. I use it in the backswing. Fuck! Oh.
No, I don't have thieves' tools or anything like that, so.
No, you probably couldn't then.
Yep.
Oh, I have thieves' tools.
Ask some.
You have thieves' tools?
Yeah.
He's an urchin.
Oh, because you're an urchin.
Oh, I don't have them. I know how to use them.
Shoot. Maybe you should call the rest of the party.
That was my plan after finding the grenade, but I haven't
Here's a better plan, and I step over the triple ring.
Oh, jeez.
And hit the backup.
I look at the tertiary traps.
See the can.
I am looking where I'm going. This
time.
Roll. If you're looking for traps, roll investigation. If you're looking around, roll perception.
All right. I do text them saying that we found significant evidence that they're probably based out of this facility, and that they are more likely here.
I got an 8.
I guess we need to go
on which one?
Investigation to find.
Oh, good.
I'm not proficient.
So one for the perception, 7.
Roll the 6 plus a 4 to make a 10.
All right. So as you make
your way... My passive is a 14.
I'm aware, but you're having to do it actively now. It does not help, as we learned from playing with Mr. All-Seeing Eye, Hunter's character. So as you walk through, you hear what sounds like the charging of an energy weapon.
Perception to try to find the source.
That was what you rolled.
Was investigation.
Oh, everyone roll perception. What would you get for perception, Colin?
A 7.
So you roll.
I rolled a 2 plus 5 for 7.
as one of the dice bit the fucking dust.
I rolled a 6 again plus 1 to make 7 for perception.
Yeah,
I have hidden that die away for now.
All right, so you hear the sound of y'all don't hear the sound of an energy rifle charging, and then you hear the next thing you hear is an energy bolt hitting right between your feet. All right, actually, let me roll. If he rolls badly, he'll hit you on accident. He crit. Not only does he hit right between your feet, he hit like.
It ricochets
and goes between the other guy's feet too. It's like,
ricochets and goes almost straight up.
Yeah, no, it's
still a breeze.
it gets within a millimeter of your foot and like your calf as it comes down and it says, "What are you doing here?" And you hear from above you.
I look. Who do I see?
Roll stealth because.
He obviously just hollered out.
Yeah, but he's still. Did he beat our self?
Yeah.
What was that going?
I also want to look for him if you're making this roll. Now I'm finally getting above 10. That's a 14.
Roll 5. Plus 1 to make a 3. We didn't even notice the shot.
Well, what's your total, Colin?
14.
All right. You do beat his stealth. His stealth.
And fired a shining bolt of light at us.
It was more of a dull thing, but you look up and they're sitting up on the rafters. There is a man with what looks like feathers on his face.
Birdman.
and he's the one who obviously has an energy rifle pointed this time not at your feet but at your chest.
Oh, that isn't nice, man. We're just wandering around looking for cans. It's
roll deception.
Alibi. It's a perfect alibi. You might actually be looking for cans.
It's not deception. Come on.
It's not deception. It's the truth.
Would you like to roll for deception or persuasion?
I'd like to roll. I rolled a 3, so it doesn't matter.
I'll roll his insight.
You rolled a one?
No, you rolled
a one. Well, I rolled a 5 plus 1 is 6.
Oh, no. I don't have my persuasion and deception and performance are the same. So
can you give him advantage because he is telling the truth?
No,
that's why he gave him the 2 skills.
That's why I let him pick.
Yeah.
He says, "How about this? You fuck off, and I don't shoot you."
Oh, that isn't very nice. Just trying to shoot random people off the street.
That was a long thing to say.
Trying to get shot, right? Trying to get shot, Kyle. Well, the bad dice luck has decided to move to my side of the table as he rolled an at 1. Let's see how bad that was. Let his guts. He's fine. It's an 18. But
yeah, that was a potato of a roll.
And the energy bolt just lashes out, but it hits like about 10 feet above your head.
Yeah, see, you might hurt someone like that. Come on, man. Get down here and talk like a light person.
I will return fire. Non-lethal.
Yeah, you don't think he was doing it non-lethally. That was meant to kill.
Yep. Hence why I'm returning fire.
Yeah.
I'm assuming 11 will miss.
It does, yeah. Unarmored, that misses. Jeez.
I had a thought come up. With the energy projectiles like this, how does it affect Colin's ability to
deflect missiles?
You won't be able to catch, but I'm going to give him the ability to reflect.
So, Paul, I do have holy energy power, so wouldn't I be able to absorb it? Kind of, and just throw it back at them.
I'm gonna give you the ability to deflect or ricochet down. You can't like catch the arrow, but you can.
Oh no! It would be if I do reduce it to 0, though, I would deflect it back at them. That's what I'm sort of.
You could for a key point.
Yeah, for a key point, you could, or you can just deflect it down and away.
Yeah,
you won't be able to shoot it back unless you use the key point. But you can make it so that it's a non-harmful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I wasn't really too scared. It's like, oh, an energy weapon. Wow, that's going to deal so much damage with deflect missiles.
When do we arrive?
You guys are probably a minute out. So after this fight, probably. It's back.
You want to ride?
Yeah. How'd you do on your hit roll, Mr. Damon?
I rolled a 5.
Oh, you rolled a potato. Six. You're right. All right. So,
unless I can shoot with my crossbow, my offhand.
Like crossbow is a 2-in-1.
All right, I was thinking hand crossbow. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. So he's gonna shoot at you again, and then let's see how that goes. That's better than a potato. Does a 19 hit you?
Yes.
That is 7 piercing. Piercing.
That's a reaction.
Also, that was shot at Damon, not at
Yeah, but you can use your reaction to defend. To take the damage instead, I thought.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I thought. Hold on.
That's the
protection fighting style.
Yeah. Hold on. I'll open up the book. But yeah, I'll just continue.
Protection fighting style requires a shield.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, I know. It impacts your chest, and then you see him reach around his neck for a radio. Hey. We've got intruders at the entrance. Get the boys.
I shoot back, I guess.
It'll be Colin's action.
Yeah, I just want to stand in front of him, like act as cover.
Okay.
Is there a way I could get up to his level? Like, are there stairs?
Yeah, they're down the way, but yeah, you could get to him. With how fast you are, it'd probably take 2 rounds to get to him.
Oh, okay, I'll do that. I thought he was, like, standing on, like, a girder way above.
It is, but there are stairs, like, 50, but like 40 feet away from you.
Okay, yeah, I'll start running there then. Wait, dash, so I'm moving 90 feet.
Yeah, I assumed you were dashing.
Yeah.
It'll be 2 full rounds, and you'll be in this guy's grill. Roll the hit.
I'm assuming a 18 will hit.
Oh, yeah.
It was cocked, but...
You can re-roll it if you'd like. I can't see what it was. So
that's... 5 piercing, or 9 piercing, 2 lightning.
Okay, yeah, the damage doesn't matter. So that's 11.
Yep.
I didn't expect you guys to separate.
Bonus action. I will use my Maltic die to heal myself with my celestial ability.
Okay.
Just d4 or at this level. I gain 5.
And that would be 2d4, because it's treated like a second level as well.
Nope.
You're a third level.
I'm not a warlock. He's
technically a first level warlock.
No. I was talking about. I thought you were using your healing word from your power set. Nope. Okay, never mind.
I get these back on short rest.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I don't get. It's based on my hemocraft die.
Okay, gotcha. All right. So that brings us to his turn, where he's going to shoot at you. I think 5 again. I'm going to miss.
Is that the fairy dice?
The pink ones are, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the fairy dice will be in your favor.
Hey, no shit. Something's gotta give. He whiffed hard with a 9 to hit. It's shit damage too. It was just a bad thing all around. He says, "Boss, they look like capes." You don't hear what he said. You can roll perception, Colin, because the other one. Oh no, you ran away to run up. So I'm gonna give Damon a shot at hearing what he said.
8 total.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
Top of the order. So we come to
Trudor McGee just missed. So it's Bedlam.
Bedlam.
I'm still running. You said it was
all right. So that is your second round. You will be able to be on him next round.
I just need to get 30 feet away.
He could improve his running speed.
Oh, if you'd like to spend a key point, you can use Step of the Wind to get there right now.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Can I get within 30 feet so I can start punching him?
No, it would take your whole movement to get that close.
Okay. Why would I spend the key point if I'm just still going to be in range of him next turn?
Yeah, but you can be there this turn. He won't get to shoot for free.
I'll save the key point for now. He doesn't. Okay.
So...
Colin doesn't care about you.
Well, I don't know what's going on. I'm just dashing off as quick as I can.
Wow, good damage, though.
How's it good? You missed.
You're going to take 8, Damon. I hit a 17 AC.
Hey, maybe.
I knew I was forgetting Step of the Wind. Yeah, that's great.
Maybe you should be using the blue dice now, actually.
No, I like it this way.
No, maybe the blue dice. I thought the pink dice would also be hurt, but I was incorrect. I was kind of hoping.
With that, it looks like this guy, he grabs something from underneath his perch. It looks like a white canister, and it looks like he's preparing to throw it down. But he hasn't done it yet because it's not his turn. It's Bedlam's turn.
Yeah, I'm just going to run up and start blasting him with the Radiant Sunbolts.
All right, roll it.
Just looking for the actions. Here it is. Oh, wait. Oh, that's a 1.
Hmm? I got to try to go for shots later. Because I know I got 12 shots with this gun before I have to switch my other gun. And yeah. Then
or just switch.
I got a 1.
You got a 1 to hit?
Yeah.
Roll another 20.
That's a 4.
Roll to hit Rob.
Oh, no.
Or Damon. At disadvantage because you're so far away.
Okay, good, because I just rolled a 19 on the first attack. And there's a 17 for 24.
roll your damage. The oofs are real.
Yeah, this is a real oof. That's 9 damage.
Take 9.
I'm gonna spend a key point and to send out 2 more radiant.
Before you release your extra attack, why are you betraying? You're joining them. This is your audition.
What? Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Is this about us making fun
of you? Oh no! I'm not helping my point. I just got 10 the first attack.
Okay.
Okay, and then there's a 17 for 24.
It'll hit.
Yeah. So that's 9 plus 10 damage then.
Yeah, this dude looks like he's hurting for certain.
Yeah.
It's now
my turn.
Damon's turn, yeah.
Who on this up there is the real threat?
Uh-oh.
And you.
What was that, Colin?
Who up there is the real threat now? Your party member.
Second level. Third level.
So okay.
Second level spells. I'm just going to have to scale.
That is, I'm perfectly fine with.
It's an extra D10. Or Dankster D8.
So 14 points I get back.
Yeah.
Up to 20.
All right. At that, he says, Liberators for Life. And he takes the white canister and smashes it into the girder underneath of him. And he disappears. A white mist appears around him, and then he's gone.
Can I
perception check both of you?
Oh, geez. That's a 14 total.
10 total.
You do not know where this man is. I'm going to roll with advantage on this next attack. F you, dice.
Yay, they got the curse.
2 5s? Come on. From 30 feet above you in the actual rafters, a shot comes at Bedlam, and you look up and can see that he has appeared on a higher rafter.
Okay.
There are no stairs to this one.
But he is within 30 feet.
Yeah.
Correct.
Which is important for Colin.
I'm aware. Yeah. And then he's going to start running down the girder toward the other side.
That's a lot of movement.
Well, he teleported 30 feet.
Okay.
Or did he?
Or did somebody else? Or he fucking ziplined up there because y'all were distracted by the canister. Who knows?
Yeah, I thought it was like a smoke grenade was going to drop on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was some gas, poison gas.
That was him pressing Misty Step.
Yep.
Mechanical version of Misty Step.
That's not on the market.
As a flavor thing. He just cast Misty Step. All right, it is Bedlam's turn.
Okay, I'm going to run after him and fire off some more attacks. If right. He's still within 30 feet.
If you can get within 30 feet, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't hit.
What's the worst that could happen?
You I get won't shot say again. That!
I'll get shot again.
He'll be down.
8 plus 7 for 15.
That will miss.
Okay. I'll spend a key point, get off 2 more attacks. Since I want him down, that's a 21.
And it's...
So that's for 6 plus... for 7 damage.
Okay.
And...
Well, he had 8 hit points.
Another one's going at him for 19.
Sure. All right, yeah.
Plus...
Is this subdual damage?
Yeah, 12.
All right. You hit him, and there's a 1 mild problem.
He's
there's
up there.
There's a good chance he falls off the rafter, and he's now 90 feet up.
I attempt to catch.
There you go.
Wait, I have a better idea. Heal him right before he hits the ground.
Bonus action, healing word?
You don't have, it's not a reaction.
It can be.
No, but I get attacked next, and he hasn't fallen yet.
Roll me, I'll call it under D12.
Make it a power check.
It's luck.
Yeah.
It is a power. Roll power check. In case we haven't said it yet, a power check is using your power... or your ability in a way that isn't technically defined by the rules, but is a way that we think should be able to happen. What'd you get?
14 plus 6 for 20.
That is enough. You heal him right as he hits the ground. Let me see if he outright dies, though.
I'm also going to roll the total for healing.
Well, because theoretically that would matter, yeah.
Because it'll reduce whatever damage he would take by that much.
That was clever. Come on.
I gave you credit.
7 total. 1 and 2 on the dice.
He would have died outright if you had not healed him. I'm sorry. He still died outright. I can math. You healed could 7? It puts him at 7.
Oh, wait, I haven't powered healing.
You should reroll those 2 dice.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. I could have done that earlier and got more good ones on myself. There
that's
we go.
Better.
Yay!
So, 11.
Okay. So this was a nutso-bonkers falling damage.
Sixes.
That's 20 plus 10 is 30 plus 6. 36. He would have had 1 hit point left. Or he would have been 1 below dead, 1 above dead, if you hadn't empowered your healing. His ass is fucked up. He broke at least one of his legs, maybe one of his arms.
His big toe and his nose.
And his big toe and his nose.
I will take his gun away and then stabilize him.
His gun is shattered. He landed on
it. Even the clip? The energy clip?
Yeah, it discharged. It's part of why it hurts so much.
Yeah, but you're still gonna kick it away. Like...
Yeah.
No, like he landed on it and shattered it. It's made out of plastics and stuff like that. It broke.
It broke his fall.
Yeah, it broke his fall being operative.
I will still use a medicine check to stabilize him.
Okay.
Because I'm not a murderer.
Oh, his ass is fucked up.
11 plus 3, so 14.
That would have been great. I'm not a murderer. 1.
I'm not a murderer. He says he slit his throat.
What was that? 14?
14 total.
That's enough. 10 is the stabilized.
I think. Was it 15?
I'm going to say it's 10 because I decided that's what it is.
I'll just heal
another thing.
So. Yeah. So he stops. You manage to set his leg so that it's not going to kill him. You know that you can call the FSA and report him because he is a super. Yep. Everyone's a super.
FSA's job just got a whole bunch worse.
But you do know there's probably more people here because you hear movement from upstairs.
Hi, this is Paul, the Game Master of Riverside City Podcast. At this point in the recording, we continued on to because that's where we were at in the session. But it makes a really great stopping point for the podcast. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. And if you'd like to find me on Twitter, it's at CURUNIR471. And you can follow the podcast at RSCPod. I'd like to thank everyone again for listening. It's been a lot of fun to record these past few episodes. Though this will be the longest you've listened to the teasers, hopefully. So you got to know us a little bit better. There are links in the description to both the music that we use for the intro and outro, as well as to the Riverside City Chronicles first book, Riverside City Caves and Cowls, where you'll follow characters Theo and Kat through high school life and becoming capes superheroes. It's been a passion project of mine, and I'm really enjoying it. And I hope you guys do too. If you do, please, don't hesitate to, send me a message or, leave a review on Amazon. It's very helpful. And with that, I think it's time to end. Thank you so much. Good night.